Whether you're a federal agency or a contractor, cybersecurity has become too important to leave solely to the tech staff. The worst threat these days seems to be the insider threat. Joining me with advice for how to take a corporate approach, Evan Wolf and Addie Cliff. They are partners at the law firm Kroll Mooring. Good to have you both on.
Good to join you today.
Great to be here.
You have special considerations for federal contractors as they try to mitigate their own insider threats. What are some of the special considerations they have that maybe other companies don't have?
There's really two areas that federal contractors need to be thinking about insider threat mitigation. The first is the role they can play as a business, and this is the good news for the insider threat requirements for companies these days, which is this can be a growth area for them, both as they implement these programs for federal agencies, which also have to worry about insider threat and threat mitigation, but also for defense companies that have to be implementing this. Not everyone is going to be able to build their own technology and or governance structure, and so they're going to turn to other government contractors and other consultants to help build this. And that's where I think there's going to be a lot of growth. That's the first area of providing these services. And the second is going to be implementing their own programs. And there's going to be a clear role and a set of requirements and a new set of activities, which will require everything from increasing hiring to implementing new tech solutions to meet these new requirements.
Part of this is driven by the fact that they often hold government information in their own systems and servers and their special requirements by the government for holding that information, correct?
There are a set of requirements that Addie will talk about in a minute, but also it's driving types of services that companies must have. For example, they must be implementing new technical controls. So there's a set of software and or other technology companies that are trying to address this by not only developing these packages and these programs, but also helping companies implement them. And that's where we're seeing both the drive in the technology companies and also drive in the services companies, because the aspects of this require both monitoring, which is a silicon problem in that you have to monitor computers, and a carbon problem in that you actually have to be able to watch people and have the right governance structure and administrative controls.
And Addie?
As Evan said, there's a lot of these different requirements. I mean, specific to contractors who have facility clearances, so those contractors that are either safeguarding classified information or accessing classified information in particular, there are some big changes there. So a little over a year ago, the Defense Security Service, DSS, amended the NISPOM, that's an amendment we refer to as Change 2, to require contractors with facility clearance to create a formal plan to implement an insider threat program. So I think particularly for those cleared contractors, this is a hot topic. Those plans had to be in place by November of 2016, so we have almost a year sort of under our belts with the plans in place, and now contractors are really digging into the implementation phase of those programs. When it amended the NISPOM, DSS imposed some basic minimum requirements for those contractors related to insider threat programs. A lot of those requirements already existed, right? So you already had to be reporting and monitoring insider threats. The change is that now all those various aspects are part of a comprehensive and formal program, right? So you have to designate someone who's in charge of it. You have to give training to all your cleared employees. You have to make sure, and this is really in Evan's wheelhouse, you have to make sure that you have the appropriate controls in place on your systems. And this is all subject to oversight by DSS. So my sense was that when this was rolled out last year, DSS itself probably didn't know what best practices would look like, and it's now working with industry as it's approving, monitoring these programs to get a better sense of, okay, what should these contractors be doing to you know, really be doing a good job in this arena.
And just so people understand, by NISPOM, we're referring to the National Industrial Security Program Operating Manual. We're speaking with Evan Wolf and Addie Cliff of the law firm Kroll Mooring. Something else you've written, which is interesting, is that the existence of the right controls and the right reporting mechanisms are becoming a factor in mergers and acquisitions in the defense contracting industry. True?
That's right. I would say that cybersecurity and insider threats are becoming more and more significant in M&A. In my view, there's sort of two different buckets we think about when we're talking about M&A and cybersecurity. So first, there's the government contracts and regulatory requirements that apply when the target is in the government contract space. So those types of, you know, regulatory requirements that attach to government contracting, particularly where the targets involved in DoD or intel community type of contracting. The second is cybersecurity as a consideration just in run-of-the-mill commercial acquisitions, right? So sort of taking the first bucket, which is an area that I do a lot of work in, you know, we'll be looking at general compliance considerations, and buyers are focusing a lot more on compliance with the DFAR safeguarding rule, FedRAMP certification, those types of requirements. Another context that comes up a lot is when the parties are submitting a notice to the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. So CFIUS, that's an interagency committee, and it has authority to review transactions that are going to result in control of a U.S. business by a foreign person. One of the required submissions, and this has been the case for a while as part of that notice, is a copy of what will be the applicable cybersecurity plan post-acquisition, right? And it's increasingly important, we're seeing this more and more, that the parties really demonstrate to the committee that they have adequate controls in place so that there is an assurance that post-closing that foreign person is not going to be able to utilize, to exploit any of the information that the U.S. company has. So I would say it's really important for companies to be thinking about this in the early stages of acquisition, particularly where you are in this sort of DoD, intel community type of space. But Evan can talk a little more about the general sort of commercial considerations where you're not even in talking about a government contract or target.
Well, Evan, I wanted to ask you about the issue, too, and this relates to this, is that, as we said in the beginning, this is not just an issue for the cyber tech staff anymore. It's really a corporate governance and leadership topic.
Absolutely. And this is where we've seen a very clear trend in all transactions where cyber and privacy are oftentimes driving a merger or an acquisition or receiving funding, because companies really care about and want to evaluate whether or not there's been a loss of IP, a compromised system. And really, since the big issue for mergers these days is going to be what happens after the merger, when you have to integrate two technology systems or you have to bring together a set of IT staff. Does everyone have the same training? Is there a training program that exists? And so the insider threat has just exacerbated these concerns in many ways, and that this is another area that companies are evaluating during these mergers and acquisitions or market moments, where they want to know that has a company been considering this, been thoughtful about it, been proactive about it? And ultimately, the question that comes up in all the transactions we handle is, have there been any previous incidents? And if so, have they been handled appropriately? As Addie talked about, there's a very significant reporting requirement. Have you been implementing the controls of the NISPOM? Have you met the deadlines that were required of you? These are questions that a few years ago were thought about during transactions, or maybe brought up afterwards when you were beginning the system, the post-merger system integration. But now they're really sometimes, and as we've seen with some of the higher profile transactions that have actually been significantly altered by data breaches, this is coming up beforehand. And that's why, to your question, really, this has become a CC question. IT is no longer left to guys with black shirts and tats, but really, this has become something that's managed at the C-suite, and it's really, as we call it, a team sport, in that everyone from the CIO to the information security officer to legal to compliance to auditing,
sure,
and to management need to be involved.
And a final question. You've outlined a lot of best practices and requirements that are on contractors and companies doing business with the federal government. Can all of this be ascertained by the contracting officer from the federal side? It sounds like maybe there should be a little bit more vetting and scrutiny by people other than that one individual who's actually awarding the contract.
Yeah, and this is another significant change. And really, this was brought about starting in 2013 when the Defense Federal Acquisition Regulations were modified to include a rule that, safeguarding rule that requires adherence to a set of cyber standards created by NIST, and also requires those standards to be flowed down in all your vendor contracts. And that really did change sort of the federal contracting landscape, in that once the, as we call it, the DFAR safeguarding rule was in place, it requires primes to make sure that they're flowing this down to their subs, and it requires the small companies to really start taking a lot of these cyber requirements more seriously. And that's really, since then, and it's been a slow and an evolution. Companies have begun to implement all of these controls, including the insider threat program, but the larger set of cyber controls as a part of that. And that really requires the contracting officers to look through their supply chain and not just worry about what their own company is doing, but what everyone that's involved in the federal procurement that they're working on is involved in.
Evan Wolf and Addie Cliff are partners at the law firm Kroll Mooring. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.